But this is a very special day about a very special man. And this goes for all the men and even for parents too. You know, like when we celebrated Mother's Day, you know, I spoke a little bit about the daddies too. But, you know, what Jairus' daughter saw in her father. You know, it's always what other people see in us. We're like walking epistles. We're walking as testimonies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, Jairus, we're going to get into him in a little bit. But let me tell you, he was part of the temple there. He was part of that religious system, the rulers of the synagogue. The Bible doesn't tell who he was as far as it goes for being a Sadducee. He could have been a Pharisee. He could have been a scribe. He could have been a zealot. We could go on and on. But he had importance. And let me tell you, today we have importance in God's life. And our life that he has given it to us, he's given it to us to give more abundantly. And I'm seeing these faces here this morning. And I tell you what, it's there. I see miracle after miracle after miracle sitting here before me. And don't worry, you don't have to look in the mirror. You look fine. You look good. Okay. You know, but as it is here, I want to say something about a good a father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets, I'll get it right, in society. He is the building block of the family. Okay, men are supposed to be there, just like Jairus was. We'll get to him in a minute. He is supposed to be the spiritual leader, and he's supposed to work together with his family. Okay, whether we have single men here, whether we have married men, we have fathers, we have those who wish they could have been fathers, it doesn't matter in God's sight. He loves us all the same. I like another saying here. It goes, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him. Again, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him. So that's where we're going to start here in Mark. He had a testimony. And so getting right into this passage here, and there's a couple of points I want to make. Number one, she saw that her father was not ashamed to seek Jesus. We see that in verses 21 through 24. So there is nothing to be ashamed of. And I hope that that's true for all of us here today. I think the only thing we need to be ashamed of is our sin and get that under the blood of Christ and move on and keep moving on. Then number two, she saw that her father was not ashamed to seek Jesus. All right. And then, of course, that's verses 21 through 24. And number two, she saw that her father was not ashamed to bring Christ into his home, verses 35 through 43. So not ashamed on the outside, not ashamed on the inside. So that's the way it should be, guys, for us and ladies as well, because there are some ladies here that have to fill the shoes of men and fathers and so on and so forth. And this life that we live in here. So, verse 21, let's get in to Mark. So Jesus has just dealt with an unclean spirit, and now he's crossed over on the other side of the lake, and you have people following him all the time. They're looking for Jesus, and we ought to be looking for Jesus today too in our lives every day. Whether the sun's out, whether it's raining or whatever, life doesn't change. Your seasons might change, but life doesn't change. So as we see here in verse 21, it says here in Mark chapter 5, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. You know, they tell us people who know geography and know about sound, like musicians do, you get an echo effect here in this room. Okay, along the seashore, Jesus was mentioned too quite a few times getting into a boat and speaking out amongst the audiences so they could hear. Okay, and I'm sure he had the proper time when the waves weren't crashing and so on and so forth. But if you've ever been out to the ocean, to the lakeside, it can be very still, very quiet. And you can shout out and you can hear that echo out there. So it's the way that sound gets around. So, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And, you know, oh, here's an individual you would never think of. All right? And it could be in our life that we're thinking to ourselves, you know, why don't I just step out by faith today and just believe that God's going to do it. And God has called me to do it. Step out by faith. So, and when he saw him, that's Jesus, he fell at his feet. And you know what? If you had a young girl who was dying or was going to be dead at any moment, I'm very sure, a loved one, we would be at Jesus' feet saying this too. Oh, Father, please pray that you do a miracle. If it's your will, let thy will be done on earth as in heaven. But God, if it's only possible, she's too young to die. We get a lot of young people today that die young because either they live their life too fast in sin and their life is gone, or else other circumstances. But pray for the youth out there. They need Christ, and the world's not the answer. And so when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter, now has the idea, she's probably about 12 years of age, lies at the point of death. And that means it could come at any time. And come and lay your hands on her. See, he heard that Jesus was healing. Jesus would do things. And it got his attention. He thought, you know what? Guys, I'm very sure that if you knew that one of your loved ones, our ladies here, was in the hospital, you'd stop what you're doing and you would go. You know, leave the dinner can wait. Okay, we'll get something to eat afterwards if we have time. You would just go because what? You love that person. It's nothing tighter, nothing more important than family. Families, it's like the family of God. We need each other. We need each other at home as families. And so that she may be healed and that she will live. Obviously, so Jesus went with him and the great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, there's another story here that we're not going to touch on, verses 25 through 32, and I preached that in John. But the crowds were not leaving Jesus alone. You know, you ever try to get into a store that has a great sale, and you get there, and it's like, it's gone. It's off the shelf. Well, this is the way it was with the dad. He was like, you know what? I believe by faith. Lord, if you're there, which I know you are, I know you'll answer prayer. I don't know how you're going to do it. How many times has that happened to us? Say, Lord, if I can just get home in one piece, or God, I can barely keep my eyes open, or whatever the trial is, you're just calling out to God and you're saying, Lord, help me, don't do anything stupid, but help me to get there in one piece. But God knows he's everywhere at once, right? That's the blessing. So, it's interesting that the father was not ashamed to seek Jesus. He did not send his wife. He could have sent anybody, but he was the man of the house. He went himself. He could have said, oh, I'm too busy. I got all these things to do. And that's why it's so important to pray. Because there's been so many times that I prayed that I realized that, Lord, this is what you want me to do, and this is what you don't want me to do. He did not send a servant. He did not send someone else. He sought Jesus himself. He played the role of a father. just like as it is, we have responsibilities that our Heavenly Father gives to us. And yet he knew too that he had to, I believe this man raised his kids up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to fear God and to be teachable. And it's so true, dads. You know, you do the best you can. Some of us have failed. You know, so what? Some of us did the best we could raising our kids, and yet they still didn't turn out. But, you know, I like what it says here in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child when he is way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In other words, he won't forget. She won't forget. Whoever it is, the daughter won't forget. How they were trained. They'll remember you, Dad. They'll remember you, Mom. Likewise, they don't forget. I don't forget the way my parents raised me, too. I remember the good parts, and I remember the bad parts, to learn from both, not to be judgmental, because that becomes a tendency with evil thoughts. I pray for wisdom and discernment and loving discernment. And it showed also that he showed interest in her, and talked with her, wanted to protect her, encourage her, discipline them in love, be there with them and for them, and pray for them, instill them with a strong faith in God, and have God help you to be the right kind to ask God for help. And the ultimate blessing, what we reap is what we sow, is that seeing that we are committed to God. We are committed to our marriage, guys. And we are committed to them, to the children. They might leave the nest. Some of them might still be around. I don't know. We may have grandchildren. But we're still singling them out because, by golly, we're going to put them first before God's throne. And nobody's going to take them away, because I know there's some prodigals here. Remember with the prodigal son? You know, he left. And he was very foolish. He asked for something when his inheritance, when he wasn't ready for it. Some kids are just are not mature enough. They're immature, and they get too much, and they don't know what to do with it. And they look for all the things in the wrong places, you know. And there are kids like that today. Many confused and upset kids out there today. And every once in a while, I'll get somebody who will come up and talk to me. I don't know why, but it happens. And it happens to you, too. They look for a father figure, a role model to follow by. Because TV doesn't have it. The government doesn't have it. And by the way, when it comes to that, I won't say anymore. But it's like there are things in the world today that come with a price that can lead young people to hell. And yet, unfortunately, there are the gullible ones up there, too. Like one person said, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him by example. Billy Graham said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in society. Okay? And then, of course, then my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. So we have kids today that want to believe and look up to. Dads, you're doing a great job doing the best you can. And for those who don't have kids, you're still that role model. It could be at work. You're older. You should know better. And you're living by example. Well, you want people to believe in you. And yes, you're pointing them to the cross. There it is. I bear that every day. I do that every day. And you can too. And if it's hard, I'll come over and I'll help you bear your cross. I will help. But remember, as one person told me earlier this week, we have to bear our own burdens, our own crosses. We can pray. But you know what? If we can help that person, we can help them. But remember, God takes that importance to bear our own crosses, because the time is getting short. Days are getting few for most of us. And we know that Jesus is coming back very soon. And we see all the signs are there, okay, for him coming back. It's just a matter of him coming back. So we see, first of all, that she saw that her father was not ashamed to seek Jesus. And we see, secondly, in verses 35 through 43, and while he was still speaking, came some of the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead." Isn't that a horrible thing to hear? It's like, I think I would take probably all day to just try to let that get through my mind. Here he was, and he's like, okay, where's Jesus? And you know, the sad part is people give up on the Lord when they hear that somebody died, or it's just crushed their faith. You know, and this is the first, the beginning of the spiral here of what happens when a family leaves God. And I had to go to Malachi to share this with you, and just be patient with me. But these are the steps that families drift away from God. We want to know why this is happening here in our families, the United States today. You know why we're a godless nation? We want to know why we're a woke country? It's because these steps, they go by. And it affects our grandchildren. And it goes on and on. Unless something stops it, it gets worse. It says here in Malachi, in his day with Israel, verse 2, chapter 1. They doubted God's love. So they lost God's love, first of all. Okay? And yes, we're going to get with the story about Jairus and his daughter in a moment. But the opposition that Jairus had, he could have walked away from God, and the rest of the family could have walked away as well. So number one, verse 2 says, "I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us?" So there's doubt, number one. God, you don't love me. And that's coming out of babes' mouths, dads, and even out of fathers' mouths, and single guys, and so on and so forth. Well, why did this happen? You don't really love me. Number two, he decided to dishonor his name. Malachi 1:6 says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor, says the Lord? Where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you, priests, who despise my name, yet you say, and what way have we despised your name?" So in other words, people start to get angry, a little attitude, and they start despising him and saying, "Well, Lord, if you had been there, this would have never happened." Remember, it happened with Lazarus. And we'll see here with the daughter that Jesus will raise from the dead. And then you see here also, number 3, in verse 11 in chapter 2, they desecrated God's covenant. God takes his covenants real seriously. Verse 11, "Judah had dealt treacherously in abomination and has been committed in Israel and Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the Lord's holy institution with which he loves, and he married the daughter of a foreign god." In other words, number one, they started to marry heathen women. In other words, they weren't properly yoked. I have not seen more marriages fall apart. And we're halfway through the desecration of what happens to people, our children and our children's children, when they walk away from God. I myself came from a quote-unquote religious background, but religion don't save you. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll have your religion after you get saved. And then, of course, they were divorcing their wives, and they're going after other gods. Then we see here in verse chapter 2, verse 17, and we see here they tried God's patience. They went a step further. They never took care of the first problem. The dads never came back, and the spiritual leaders. I'm not knocking on dads, because I know moms have to run the household at times. But I'm seeing such a breakdown in society today. It's everywhere. You know, just talking about statistics here, you have 25 million children in our country growing up without a dad. You have an entire generation growing up without a father figure. 80 to 85% of gang members are from fatherless homes. 75% of teen pregnancies are from fatherless homes because they're looking for a father figure. And then 65% of suicides are from fatherless homes. 75% of drug users are from fatherless homes. It can go on and on because the dads at one point, like Jairus, he could have given in, but he didn't. He was that example. He was that solid foundation. He was that firm foundation. So they tried God's patience in Malachi 2:17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. In other words, their heart was so far from God. Yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? Our justice system has fallen apart. You know, it's really bad out there. People need the Lord. That is the only way this country is ever going to get revived. God's people need to repent and turn to him. Then they desecrated God's ordinances in chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God when you have robbed me? But you say, and what have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings. People don't talk about it. People don't want to even speak a whisper word. But they are robbing God from his tithes. What? 10% of the offering goes to the Lord. Anything above that is, you know, a blessing. Your tithes and offering. Tithes 1%. 10%, excuse me, an offering is anything above that. That's a personal thing, you know. So they went back against that. You have people say, I'm not giving to the Lord anymore. I can't afford it. I can't do this. Watch and see what the Lord can do if you give to him. He will take care of you. Don't ever compare yourself to your neighbor. Don't compare yourself to another person in church. You be thankful what God's giving you, and he'll take care of you. And then you have the last but not least, they despise God's service. In chapter 3, verse 13, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? So they have totally lost the truth. They're walking in lies. And in churches today, and I'm saying this very carefully because how I look at people, God will and of course, look at me. So I have to live right. But for those people who aren't living right in churches today, I have heard from the unsaved and I've heard from people within churches over the years. People just aren't living right anymore. They're not. You know, we can't live perfect lives. But you know what? We can start being role models. We can at least start trying. And thank God we got people here today who are trying. You're doing the best you can with what you got. And let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. I gave you the downside. But it says here that what she saw in her father was not ashamed to bring Christ into the home. So in verse 35, and while he was still speaking, it came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? So they could have just left it there. You know, don't ever be too busy for the Lord's work. And, you know, you don't want to rob yourself a blessing. Be a blessing. Make me a blessing. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. Only believe and God will bring it to pass. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, his brother of James. So you had the inner circle and you had the people from the outside saying, don't believe this. You don't have to believe it, dads. Every day is a day of a test of your faith. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And I'm talking about even two single men here too. You're doing a great job. People look up to you. People pray for you. People recognize you for Christ that's in you. People are going to look for Christ. You know, I look for it in women, Christ. I want to see Jesus today in them. So when he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult, it has the idea of when they came, Peter, John, and James, when they came to the house of Jairus, there was all this commotion and noise and confusion. And in death, they usually what happens, people don't understand. People get really upset. People don't know why, because they don't seek the truth. They lost the truth. They're very lost. And I could tell you story upon story about funerals and places and so on and so forth. People without Christ, it's a very horrible thing. But there was this other side we're looking at here this morning, and they believed. He believed. And Jesus says, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. In other words, Luke has the same idea here because it tells the same story in Luke chapter 8 that, you know, and some people believe that, oh, she wasn't really dead. You always got the scoffers, the skeptics that say, oh, nah, it didn't really happen. Well, you compare scripture to scripture. Being asleep means that they died, okay? And so Jairus' daughter had died, okay, and was ready to come back to life, a resurrection. I love what it says here. And they ridiculed him, but that you know, that ridiculing only made him stronger. But when he had put them outside, he took the father and mother of the child of those who were with him. I like that. The Lord sometimes gives us a break. Sometimes he gives us wide open spaces that we can just be alone with him and have peace that passes all understanding. And the Lord gets together with us in our heart, whether it be at work, in a car, or wherever we may be. And he says this, and then he took the child by hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say unto you, rise. Why was it repeated twice? It has the idea of, here's my little girl, I say unto you, and arise. That's another translation. In other words, Jesus is saying, she's mine too. And you know what, Jairus? Not only were you not ashamed to seek me in the crowd of people, but I can see that you're not ashamed of me in your home. You know, you ever been to somebody's house and they quickly put everything away that's Christian? No, this man was not ashamed. So immediately, I love what this says, verse 42, and immediately the girl arose and walked, and she was 12 years of age. Immediately, you didn't have to have a faith healer. You didn't have to have a circus going. I'm sorry. Some people get a little, I'm not saying here, some people get upset. And I talk about some movements are out there. And, you know, you might as well go to a circus and you might as well go to a show and watch it. But that's not how God works. None of them have anything on what Jesus did. When he healed 100%. There is not one person on that TV or on the internet or whatever could heal somebody 100%. There's only one person I know, that's Jesus Christ. But then also I know doctors do too. And thank God for our doctors. So immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. And he commanded them strictly that no one should know it. You know, why was this said so? People have asked me this old question over the years. Why didn't Jesus want anybody to know? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, there's a few reasons why. Because Jesus is out to what? Save souls. He was more interested in the spiritual part, not necessarily the physical part. The physical part would draw you to Christ. As I said before, some of you are suffering very much physically. And my heart goes out to you because you are, you know what it's about. But Jesus is saying, but I'm trying to draw you to your spiritual condition. That's what he was trying to do. And then getting people all worked up about this, it also can cause more people to come around. you know, keep this quiet because, look, we got to get our rest too. Remember, Jesus was 100% man, 100% God, so he had to get his rest. His disciples needed their rest too. Remember, he said in the garden, he says, can't you just pray with me for 1 hour? And the disciples were just gone. They were exhausted. They were worn out. I'm sure we've all had our days. We just like, I'm going to shut the shades. I'm going to lay down. I don't care if it's on the floor or in my car. I'm going to sleep. I'm wiped out. You know, God needs, you know, and the man of God needed his rest too. And then, of course, we don't want to forget the leaders. I'll put them last. But, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those people, they wanted to mock and make fun of Jesus. And so the best thing to do is just to keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. And so it says here, but he commanded them strictly that no one would know it. And he said something that should be given to her to eat. So, you know what? She was resurrected. And, you know, today we can give thanks too for what her father did, Jairus did. And yet, so what are some of the areas here as we're looking at this? Psalms 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, a watchman is awake in vain. In other words, Jairus knew, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what I'm trying to say in Joshua 24:15. In other words, we're going to put God first in this house. Oh, yeah. You look what's going on outside my house? No, thank you. Every man, every woman here knows that. And then 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, fathers, are you not the head of your home? But who is the head of you? Christ is. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ Christ is God. So he had the authority, Jairus did, to give in to the religious leaders, number one, and he didn't. Number two, he could have given in to the crowds. Are you crazy, you nuts? She's dead. Don't ever give up hope, faith, and love. Don't give up on this. And then also, we see here in the conclusion, it says here that she saw that her father was not ashamed to seek Jesus. Okay? Afterwards, you know, I'm very sure she was like, Dad, you're right. I believe in you because you're living it. People want to see us live it. And, you know, doing the right kinds of things, being the right kinds of fathers. And I'll even say singles and those here today that aren't married. But you're living by example and you're showing it. And you're loving your family as what? Yourself. You know, first thing you guys do, I know some men do, and they come home, it's not about them. It's about my family. How's my family doing? Are you doing okay? You know, I try calling you. Are you all right? You know, and this goes on all the time. And, you know, God bless you all because I know you've got strong hearts and you have this strength and what? God gives you the courage to go through every day. And then, of course, working hand in hand with Christ to help our families reach heaven. And how does that happen? I'm going to close with this. Is by putting God first. You know, I am often amazed. Every once in a while, I hear somebody say, you know, when I get together with my family for get-togethers, oh, we have a little time in the Lord. And before we give, we're going to eat, we're going to give a little blessing. You know, and that's just so wonderful. It's so special. So we need to be continue this, what people see in us, and that's Christ, the hope of glory. If not, we're going to go the way of Malachi. Just read Malachi sometimes. It's just right all there. It's just like, Lord, you had a newspaper back in the day. You had a computer on back in the day. You saw all these things back in the day that were going to happen, and it all came to pass. You were right about this. And you know the best part, Lord? I believe in this by faith. It's real. You know, you don't have to go in circles where the devil likes you to go to know that you can just stop where you're at anytime and give thanks and praise because you know you're the man. You're the man. Or you're the woman. Or you're the grandpa. Or you're the great-grandpa. Or the great-grandmother. Or the great-great-grandmother. Okay? Whether which way, God bless you. Let this be a real a blessing. Remember, there's a Heavenly Father that loves you. And He sent His Son. And we have, what? The Holy Spirit. So we got the best of everything, guys. Use it. And God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have. We thank You, Lord, even though sometimes we look back, which we shouldn't do, and say, you know, I wish I could have done better. I wish. But you know what? It's okay, because we're going to learn from that. As people are watching us, help us all to be better examples, whether it's women or men. And remember a special day for single men, fathers, whoever you are. Remember, God's made you for this reason and for such a time as this, to honor and glorify Him. You are no less. You don't have to compare yourself to somebody else. Be who you are. That is the most important thing. God is concerned about our character more than anything else. And Lord, help us. Thank You for Your mercy and grace. And ask You, God, continue to bless us in spite of ourselves. And thank You so much for Your kindness and goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.